I want to share with you a couple of thoughts on faith and prayer tonight from the book of Hebrews chapter 10, if you have your Bible with you. And I want to call it as you see the day approaching. As you see the day approaching. Now, Father, I thank you, God, with all my heart for the touch of your Holy Spirit that abides in this house and abides upon your word. And Lord, you're well able to take these few thoughts and make them so transformative that we will never be the same again. Oh God, I thank you, Lord. You set me free from years of fear just by a half of one verse. If God be for us, who can be against us? So I thank you tonight, Lord, that as I share these few verses of scripture, Lord, that you will inscribe it deeply upon our hearts. For you yourself said, there was a day coming that I will write my law, you said, upon your hearts. And Lord, you said also that you would cause us to walk in your ways. And so we yield our bodies tonight, as you tell us in the book of Romans, as a living sacrifice to you. It's reasonable, Lord, that we should live for you. Tell us what that looks like and help us to lay hold of it. Deliver us, God, as your people in this generation out of the weakness of powerless religion, and bring us into the power of the endless life of Christ that you now have given to us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we are supernatural people. We're no longer a natural people. We no longer live inside the boundaries of our old behaviors and our ways of thinking. You have indeed made all things new. Help us to realize this. Help us to understand the power of prayer. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Having boldness to enter the holiest. Can you imagine? Back in the Old Testament days, only one man once a year was allowed into that place. On the Day of Atonement. To enter into that place at any time other than that, you died. There was no flesh could stand in the presence of a holy God. And there was a veil that separated God from all of the mass of humanity, even with all of its religion on the outside. God was holy, so holy that people who even saw his reflection in the Old Testament feared that they were going to die. Because no man, they understood, could see the face of God and live. And that veil remained, separating God from humankind until that final moment on the cross on Calvary when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And the Bible tells us that moment, the earth shook, the sun was darkened, graves opened, people came out of graves. And the veil that separated God from you and I was torn as if God took it with his hands and ripped it from the top to the bottom. That thick veil, that strong veil. If you thought the curtain in this sanctuary is something, you've seen nothing compared to this veil. I'll venture a guess if you put 100 men on this side and 100 men on that side, they couldn't even make a minuscule tear in that veil. It was so thick and so separated humanity from a holy God. But God himself tore that veil in two. When Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross, that veil was removed. And God gave us a cleansing and a covering that allows us to come into his presence with boldness, to enter that holy place where God alone is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I hope you understand what it means to come to the throne of God in prayer. You are actually at the throne of God in Christ Jesus. You are not separated from God any longer. If you've trusted in Christ, you have access to the throne of God. And he tells us that we're to come into the throne of God and we're to come there boldly. That means with confidence to find grace to help in our time of need. In these passages of scripture and all through the Old Testament and New, we see clearly it is God's desire. It's his, one of his premier desires to meet with you and I and to answer the cries of our heart. He's not distant. He's not aloof. He wants to show himself powerfully on our behalf. Verse 20 says, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And all of that just means don't take this lightly and don't deal with it casually. We are offered this incredible privilege of coming in to the presence of God, but don't come in here with a divided heart, and don't come in here with a double mind, and don't come in here with willful evil still resident in your life. There is nothing of sin that any longer has dominion over you unless you choose to give it dominion. It has lost its power over you. And so, by the word of God, if your mind is still focused on things that are outside of who Christ would have you to be, pray, God, cleanse my conscience. Cleanse my heart. Change me. Didn't you promise that I would have a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit? Didn't you say that you would write your laws upon my heart? Didn't you promise me that in Christ I would become a new creation and the old things in my life would pass away? They would die, in other words. And all things would become new. This is your promise to me. So God, I don't want to live the way I used to live. I don't want to think the way I used to think. I don't want to bring this old, polluted, dirty way of living into your presence and presume that that's all right in your sight. No, Lord Jesus Christ, sprinkle my conscience and wash my body with the pure water of your word, that I no longer give in to the old ways of thinking and doing and living. Get me out, just like the prodigal son. Get me out of the pig's field and bring me home to your house and cover me and cleanse me and empower me and call me to represent you in the earth. When you and I come into the presence of God with a clean heart and a mind that is fixed on living for him, the first thing that happens is exactly what Jesus told us in the Gospel of John. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will take what is mine and he will show it to you. And he repeated himself. He said, I say again, he will take what is mine and he will show you things to come. When we come into the presence of God and our hearts are engaged with his will for our lives and our minds, as much as he has given us the power, say, God, I want a heavenly mind. I want to start thinking the way you want me to think. The first thing that happens is the promises of God literally lift off the page and he starts speaking to your heart about things that he wants to do in your life that you can't do. You never could do it. And without him, you never will do it. He starts speaking about things that are impossible without God. Gifts he wants to give you, places he wants to take you, things he wants to do through your life. And I tell you one thing, the moment you start to taste it, you can actually become addicted to coming to the throne of God. That's no overstatement. Lord God, I thank you for what you did yesterday. It's been miraculous, but there's more for today and there's more for the future. And give me more of your presence and your power and your love and your life and your ability in me so that others may know that you're God. You see, that's what the whole thing is about, that others may know. I don't want it just to be a historical text of 120 people coming out of the upper room where they were praying and they were one in unity with one another and God. And so empowered by the Holy Spirit that it brought thousands to their knees as they looked and they saw ordinary people moving with the extraordinary power of God, very evident inside of their lives. I don't want to just read about it. I want to walk in it because the promise is still as true today as it was back then. And when God promises, the writer, again, of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast to what God speaks to our hearts, not just about our eternal redemption. That is our everlasting hope. But he does give a hope here in this life. I shall be another man, another woman, whatever your case is. I will be made into the person that God is telling me I'm going to become. I will go where God is telling me he's going to send me. And what God has determined to do through my life will be accomplished in that place. Now, the devil will come against that with everything he's got. Who do you think you are to believe that God will use you? You see, the accusation is not against you, it's against God. Because God chose you in your imperfection. He chose you in your struggle and trial. And he made promises to you and to me. And he says, I want you to boldly come to my throne because of Jesus Christ who tore the veil and made a way for you to come. And when you come, I'm going to start speaking to your heart, not just about what you're praying for other people, but what I'm going to do for them through you. I'm going to make you into a new person. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Don't let the devil push it out of your heart. Don't let him. You are not what the devil says you are. You are not what anybody says you are. You are what God says you are. When you get into the throne of God in prayer, he starts to speak to your heart about things that he wants to do and will do that you can't do, but he can. The enemy will come against that with everything he's got. No, it's not going to happen. All the old voices come back. All the old fears come back. Everything of hell comes back and tries to push that away from you and out of your consciousness. But he says, hold your hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. Oh, hallelujah. He's faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. The church should be the most nurturing place on the face of the earth. I should be stirring you up to believe God, and you should be stirring me up to believe God. If I was sitting where you are, I should be looking to the person on my left and the person on my right and saying, I want you to believe God. Whatever he's speaking to you, I want you to believe God. He is able to take you farther than you can ever hope you can go in your own strength. And stir up one another to love and good works, to that all-consuming love of God that breaks down barriers, casts away fear, causes us to cry out with a deep inner longing, oh God, as we pray tonight, for the sake of the youth in Chicago, do something for them. And if you choose to do it through me, do it through me. Do it, oh God, for the sake of young people who've been lied to and they don't know they have a heavenly Father and they don't know that you love them and died for them and they can have a hope and they can have a future. Stir one another up. Stir one another up. Stir one another up. This should be a place where we are talking to one another. We are encouraging one another and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, especially now, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. So much more as we see that we're coming to the end of all things in this world and the soon coming of Jesus Christ. So much more as we see, in spite of the darkness, we see a day of light on the horizon. We see a moment of mercy on the horizon. And we should be stirring one another to believe God. Praise be to God. And that's the cry of my heart tonight. That in this church, in your home that are listening online, in your church, in your community, that we as the body of Christ would start to speak words of life one to another, words of faith, words of hope one to another, not looking at what the person beside you is today, but looking to what God has promised that they will be tomorrow and encouraging one another. Don't cut short that journey to the throne of God. Don't let the devil lie to you anymore. God has a plan for your life. It's a supernatural plan. It's a wonderful plan. It's a powerful plan. God has giftings to give you. Stirring one another up. Stirring one another to believe God. stirring one another to lay hold of these promises of God boldly in the throne of grace, because Christ has made a way for us to be transformed, to be made into people to be wondered at, to be lights in this darkened time, to be a voice for those who have no voice to cry out for themselves, to be reason in a time when unreasonable speech seems to be abounding, to be steady in a time where unsteadiness seems to be everywhere, to work in the miraculous when people are stuck in the pit of the natural. This is what you and I are called to be, by God's grace, by God's grace. I am going to provoke you until you become everything that God's called you to be. And if you're not interested in serving God, then you need to be in another church with Brother Mumble Nothing to just open the scripture. But I'm going to provoke you. I'm going to provoke you to go to the throne of prayer, and I'm going to provoke you to become everything that God wants you to be. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to make you uncomfortable in this house. I'm going to go after your sin. I'm going to go after it right to the root of it. Because God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. God has something supernatural for you. God has a song to put in your heart. God has a pathway he wants you to walk in. God has something that he wants to do through your life. And there are no exceptions in this house. He is no respecter of persons. That early crew in the upper room, they were bakers and they were fishermen and they were tax collectors and they were just ordinary everyday people like you and I. But God came down and touched them, and with 120 people, changed the whole world. That's who he is. And so here's my prayer tonight. God, may I believe you for the people around me, not just for my own life. May I exhort. May I be the kind of a person that inspires people to find the fullness of God that he has for their lives. May I challenge the struggling to keep going to that throne of God, believing that he will wash their conscience and he will cleanse their bodies. May I be among those that are building the church of Jesus Christ, one another in this last day of time, and even so much more as we see the day approaching. Praise be to God. We are going to rise up, church. I'm telling you, we're going to rise up. We're going to be the people of God in our generation. Every one of you is going to become an evangelist. Every one of you. Everyone. You're going to start reaching out with boldness. You're going to do what the scripture says. You're going to take authority over unclean spirits. You're going to lay hands on the sick. You're going to believe God for the miraculous. You're going to touch your communities. Everyone here is going to be a force for good in this time that we're now living in. By the grace of Almighty God. By the grace of Almighty God. By the grace of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only that we each would become the fullness of what God has for us, but we would exhort others to believe God. And for those that are online tonight, you're at home and your whole focus is about me, myself, my life, my home, my future, my family, whatever it is. It's time for you to get out of yourself and start thinking of the people around you. It's time for you to lay hold of God and start encouraging them to lay hold of God. It's time to lay hold of God's power for your family, for your wife, for your husband, for your son, for your daughter. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. We are not leaving this world in a whimper. If we are the last generation, we're not going out in a whimper. We're going out with a shout. We're going out with a song. We're going out with a harvest. By the grace of God, that's who we are. Hallelujah.